So in my childhood church's Sunday school classrooms, there was a chart on the wall with all our names and little boxes with dates for every Sunday, and you could put a sticker on the Sundays that you came. And my sister and I, as Rose, we were filled just about every other week because the other weeks we were at my father's Catholic church. And I remember wondering what happened on the Sundays we weren't there. Wondering if we only half belonged, even though my name being there on that list meant surely I did belong, for real. I've heard many stories over the years from folks whose Sunday schools had perfect attendance awards at the end of the church school year, and I've also heard other heartbreaking stories about being shamed, subtly or not so subtly, for missing services. If you've listened to any of my sermons up to this point, then you know that I believe shame has no place in church. I know for a fact that shame makes it harder for people to return. So I liked what my church school classes at my last parish did. They drew and mailed postcards to the kids who missed church for whatever reason. And the postcard said, "You are remembered, you are missed, you matter." Thomas missed a Sunday. He missed the best Sunday. While all the disciples were gathered in a locked room that first Easter Sunday, Jesus showed up in their midst. To a frightened huddle of his grieving friends, Jesus offered what they sorely needed most: peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. Hearing about it from everyone else later, I can't help but imagine Thomas felt a bit put out. But Jesus shows up for him the next Sunday, too. He has heard what Thomas needs to put his hands on the wounds on Jesus' body, and that is precisely what Jesus offers him. This past week, the New York Times reported on the rising rates of absenteeism in American schools. And the lead quote for the article summed it up like this: "The pandemic changed families' lives and the culture of education." And then it quotes a Duke University professor: "Our relationship with school became optional." The article states the facts: an overall 15% increase in public school students missing 10% or more of the church school year for any, or of the school year for any reason. And most notably, the rates of absenteeism got proportionally worse across all demographic categories, including income and race. And the article goes on to guess at the reasons: heightened school anxiety, the ability to keep up online, parental overwhelm. Has there been a cultural change about what constitutes too sick to go to work or school? Has work from home broken families' habits? Did remote schooling break parental trust? Absenteeism, one researcher notes, is socially contagious. And it's not hard to read between the lines which reasons the reporters have more or less sympathy for: the kid who needs to stay home to take care of younger siblings versus the wealthy Anchorage family who jets off on a ski trip. But while the why is a fascinating mystery, it's just as important to notice the impact of students missing school, whatever the reason. Measurable academic consequences, learning loss, disciplinary issues, kids falling through the cracks. The educational and social impact lands on everyone, the kids who miss and those who don't. And the article features educators' laments that the supportive relationships have gotten harder to build between students and between students and teachers when people just aren't there. And schools have tried all sorts of things to stem the flow. Pajama party days are mentioned as one of the examples. But according to the article, the only things that work long term are home visits to investigate and address a specific family's barrier to attendance, one-on-one relationships with a caring teacher, and personal texts, quite like those church school postcards, letting parents and kids know they were missed Their absences have an impact. They matter. In reading this article, I couldn't help but think about the trends we've been seeing in the church over the past decade or so. It's across the Episcopal Church, it's a given now that the typical attendance patterns for most Episcopalians is every other Sunday. And increasingly, especially for young families, that's been moving towards once a month. And once upon a time, weekly church attendance would have been a given, a fact of life. In a town like East Longmeadow, a religious obligation, just also what most people did. So it's fascinating to witness that something I assumed would be an unchanging fact of community life, the majority of school-aged children consistently attending school every weekday, is also coming apart at the seams, despite legal obligations. And reading the article, I had this sense of it's not just us, it's not just church, it's clubs, community, and all its forms. Even what had seemed so mandatory, so uncorrodible before, work and school. Which makes what we do here, gathering and building and rebuilding relationships, all the harder and all the more important. I want to say here that I really don't question people's reasons why they aren't in church on any given Sunday. I don't judge, and I never want to shame. People often give me very good reasons for missing church anyway. They just offer them, and I particularly love when people tell me they went for a walk in the woods and met God in a new and meaningful way on a Sunday morning. It's delightful to hear about people's restful vacations, how good it feels to see dear family and friends they haven't in a long time. The why isn't too important, unless it indicates something more serious like a health issue or a crisis of faith. But I do notice the impact of people's absences anyway. I miss your presence when you're not here, or when you're here on the live stream and I have no way to know. I miss you. The other more practical impact is that it's hard to build community up when a lot of people are only here some of the time. It's harder than ever to maintain momentum in various projects and ministries. It's harder to get people to know each other, especially when, and it's sort of funny to watch it happen, people get out of sync with each other and the every other Sunday thing. So missed Sundays add up and the disconnection is real. I also often find myself thinking, you missed a good one. Jesus showed up. It was awesome. At the end of the day, though, our faith is not primarily about you and I showing up. It's about how God shows up every time. About how God will come to where you are to meet you in what you need. Even if God sometimes makes you wait a week. So many of Jesus's parables and stories and teachings are not about praising the 99 who dutifully show up in the pasture where they're expected to be. Jesus is more often speaking to the sheep who's wandered off and can't find his way back, the prodigal son who's afraid there's no way back. All these stories say, you matter, you are missed, God is longing to welcome you home. But say you've been here the whole time. Maybe you came to the majority of our Holy Week services. Maybe you've rarely missed a Sunday in your life. Maybe you're even paid to be here. It's not a mistake that the 99 sheep and the dutiful brother characters are miffed in Jesus' stories. What is the message and the good news for you and me? It's twofold. One is the reassurance that God's love for us is not based on how often we show up. God doesn't take attendance as if it's a scorecard, and neither should the church. We aren't any more or less valuable to God or our community because of what we do or how often we show up. Our worth and value is unshakable and grounded in God's grace. That's good news for everyone. The second message is this: we have a role to play in welcoming the one who's been away, in helping them know they belong, letting them know they matter. I wonder about learning from what the schools are trying, not ineffective gimmicks like pajama day, but the long, slow work of relationship building, listening with curiosity and empathy to each person's why, working to lower their particular barriers to attending childcare, transportation, general overwhelm, sending those texts and postcards that say, "We miss you, you matter, it's not the same without you here." Through it all, we stand firm in our faith in what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands. We keep the lights on and the doors unlocked, holding a space open for Thomas. As John writes, "We declare to you that we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." You here in fellowship with us makes our joy complete. I suspect you already know what it feels like to step back inside a church after a long absence, warily or sheepishly or with relief. So many of you have shared stories with me about times you have been lost or disconnected and wandered back, wondering if you could ever belong. And you found that you did, and found that Jesus showed up for you, just for you. Over 2,000 years, Christians have been gathering every Sunday, week in and week out, secretly in locked rooms, boldly in city squares, in giant crowded auditoriums and bare living rooms. Jesus has shown up every single time, whether there's 2 or 3 or 3,000. He'll be here next week and the week after that and the week after that. Thomas's absence was not the end of the story. Neither is yours or your neighbor's. Jesus has shown up and will show up in the bread, in the wine, in our hearts, offering himself for you. Amen.